This is the BBC World Service and you're listening to NewsHour with James Kumarasamy coming to you live from our studios in central London. When countries signed up to the Paris Climate Agreement back in December 2015, they were allowed a certain amount of wiggle room on the big headline figure. They committed themselves to the goal of limiting the increase in the planet's temperature to between 1.5 and 2 degrees Celsius by the end of this century. Well, 3 years on, UN scientists think that the room for wiggling has disappeared, that the time for urgency has now come. A major new report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or the IPCC, has concluded that the lower of the two figures shouldn't be an aspiration, but a firm target if we want to preserve the planet for future generations. Our environment correspondent, Matt McGrath, is in Incheon in South Korea, where the report was released.
There's two key points really about this report. The first is that keeping temperatures to 1.5 degrees is far, far better for the planet than allowing them to go to 2 degrees, which has been the standard up till now. So they're talking about things like coral reefs, they're talking about millions of people being flooded. All those are actually much, much better if they're kept to 1.5 degrees rather than allowing them to go to 2 degrees. The other big point in this report is that it is still possible to keep to 1.5 degrees if the world takes major steps such as cutting emissions by 45% in the next 12 years, dispensing with coal as a power source altogether and boosting renewables massively and actually getting people to change their lifestyles. Plus, on top of all that, we're going to need carbon removal technology to remove carbon from the atmosphere.
Matt McGrath. Well, Professor Jim Ski is one of the report's authors. He said that governments needed to waste no time in taking action.
We really need to start working very hard right from now if we're not going to see the options slip away. So the bold number is that we need to see carbon dioxide emissions reducing by 45% by 2030 compared to recent levels if we're going to put ourselves on track. And by the middle of the century, we'd need to be taking as much carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere as we put in. And really, these are dramatic changes that need the deployment of new technologies, new approaches, and also changes in behaviour. So the messages indeed are very strong.
So the message from scientists, governments and individuals already have the tools to shrink their carbon footprint. But what has been lacking is the political will. Perhaps nowhere is that more evident than in Washington, where President Trump is committed to pulling America out of the Paris Agreement. So will this IPCC report have any impact in the United States? I've been speaking to Gina McCarthy, former administrator of the US Environmental Protection Agency, who was the lead on President Obama's climate change policies.
In the United States, at least, people understand that climate change is happening. I know the president is out of touch with that, but the American public understands it. The real problem that we have is that people are seeing it as a faraway problem or a problem that impacts the coastlines or maybe those forested areas that are going on fire in California and the West. But frankly, you know, climate change changes everything. It really is the biggest threat that we have to public health today, to our safety, you know, to our well-being, to our economies, to jobs. This is about national security as well. And people need to understand and personalize it.
And if you look at America, it's not a monolithic picture, is it? As you say, the White House, the current administration, certainly takes a different view to the administration you serve. But if you look in, I think, 21 states, say they're still signed up to the Paris agreements, many cities, many local administrations, but without central government providing a lead, how much difference can that make?
Well, it makes a long-term difference, but I'll tell you, a lot of people in our country are feeling like the federal government is letting us down. They're not following the science. They're not following the law. They're trying to roll everything back, but frankly, they're not that good at it. And so I feel confident that the rules will stay in place, but it's that longer-term signal that you want to send. You know, this isn't a short-term problem. This is a challenge where we have the solutions today, which is why our mayors and our governors and why the business sector is really motivated to act, because in the absence of federal leadership, we can still do a lot of things at those other levels and in the business sector. But it's that long-term investment that we're not seeing.
One of the things you talked about just now is jobs. And it's been the argument of the current president and his administration that actually jobs were on the line because of some of the decisions that were taken to get rid of coal and gas. How do you argue against that?
Well, you probably look at facts, which this administration sometimes doesn't look that closely at. You know, the facts are that clean energy is winning in the marketplace. That's where the job growth is. It is not in the old fossil fuel sectors. We see clean energy taking off in the United States, and it continues to move at a pace that's faster than we ever intended. That doesn't mean we're nearing any finish line. But this administration doesn't understand about the jobs of the future versus trying to make what they call America great again by looking backwards.
Clearly, one of the ways that individuals can change their carbon footprint is the type of car they drive. Americans love cars, and it's proved very difficult, though, hasn't it, to get Americans to change their habits.
We had to actually regulate to get our car companies to sell fuel-efficient vehicles that Americans actually wanted to buy, which is one of the reasons they were going bankrupt when President Obama came in. He rescued them. We actually worked with them. We set a long-term strategy, and they've been doing well ever since. Mostly record-breaking years. They're adding jobs. They're selling cars that people want to buy, and they're saving consumers money as a result. If you want to revert to really expensive fuel-efficient vehicles, that doesn't save consumers anything at the pump, and it also doesn't save lives by cleaning up our air pollution today and addressing the challenge of climate change for all of us.
When you talk about saving lives, you look at some of the extreme weather that America seems to be having to deal with more and more. I mean, is that having an impact, do you think, on the way people look at the climate?
I believe that it is, which is why people know it's happening. But we haven't yet turned from talking about how bad climate is to make the change to talking about what is a future that we all want to move towards. We have to think about this a little bit smarter. And instead of focusing so much on the bad, let's talk about the opportunities. Let's talk about how many lives saved if we move towards cleaner cars. Let's talk about how when you don't burn coal, you don't spew mercury into our atmosphere that's a neurotoxin for our kids. Let's talk about the contagious diseases that are moving in a changing climate to places where we've never had them before, or the droughts we're facing. Let's talk about the opportunities we have to lift everybody up and move to a future that's better for everyone. I feel like we're fighting about nothing instead of grabbing the future and running towards it.
And this report, will it make any difference to the conversation in the United States, do you think? Or will it just be seen as another more of the same that washes over people's heads?
I don't think people have grabbed climate change because I think they think it's a problem for the planet instead of the people that live on the planet. I'm hoping that this will reignite a conversation, but that conversation will turn from, oh, woe is me and how afraid am I, to what the opportunities of the future can be.
That was Gina McCarthy, former administrator of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.